This is our fifth class in the Shedding the Burden of Yourself class. So let's check in and see how we're doing. Because as we're doing this class to get lighter, the world is getting heavier. Okay. And so there couldn't be a more challenging time that to be doing what we're doing, but we are doing it. And just to recap, the first thing that we noticed is the heaviness of our own thoughts and feelings. And the second thing is the heaviness of the history of all those thoughts and feelings, and added to that, any pain and trauma that we've had. And so we're starting out, kind of with taking stock. This it's almost, as I think about it, it's almost like when you die and you go through your lifetime review, and you're getting a chance to do that now rather than later, where you'll be able to shed most of your personal history and all the heaviness of that, so that when you arrive at those pearly gates, you're going to be clean, shiny, and ready to put on those wings. Okay. So let's have a little check-in. How's everyone doing? Any comments or insights to contribute at this point in the class?
Sarah,
Angie.
this is. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, you go ahead. I think you started.
Well, I was just going to say that I'm definitely feeling the heaviness at work. This is Denise, and really struggling more so than ever with a certain situation of just like feeling attacked or feeling like very negative emotions.
Okay, and then in your personal space where you're working with yourself, how is that going?
I feel like I'm really moving, like I feel movement and in a positive way. And I feel like I can get myself to a place where I can be like up for the challenge. And not calling it a challenge, but just excited about learning more, about delving in, about being a part of it. And within 2 minutes of being on the call with this person, and it's just like that negativity just overwhelms me.
Okay, so let's back up one more step from where you just started. In your own personal meditations, are you able to be in the light more, to feel lighter within yourself before you interact or anticipate interacting with the world?
I feel yes.
Okay, good. Okay. That's the domain of this class right now. Okay, because what we're doing, we really are working with ourselves here first and foremost. It might take a while before our environment shifts in response to our shifts, but primarily we're focusing on releasing the heaviness of our own being and what we carry around with us. Okay. So in that sense, who else would like to say something? Fran, you were going to say something.
Yeah, a couple of things have really been important and powerful to me. And one of them, a week ago, I had something very important to say to the people in my department at my firm. I'll just say it here. I mean, it's not announced publicly, but I'm to tell them I'm retiring next for end of first quarter next year. And I had sat with it for a long time, and I stewed about it to some extent, really wanting it to be a very positive message where I was being in integrity and supportive of everyone else. And I knew there would be shock, and I kind of expected that there would be some pushback and some negativity. And, you know, as I got ready for that day, I just literally kept, every time I'd have a negative thought, I would remember to ask, how might I lighten this up? What's the lighter way of thinking about this and saying this? And, you know, I spent the entire day meeting with and talking with different people on that theme. And I swear it turned into almost a love-in. There was shock, and then there was immediate support and positivity and love. And I mean, to me, that was just, it was a powerful example of how my cleaning up myself would affect the way I walk through the world and the way I'm seen or, you know, interacted with in the world.
Okay. And so back to your meditations, how are they going in your own personal space?
I would say they're pretty light. I'm really being very conscious about staying away from negative stuff. And I believe that carries into my personal meditation time. And, you know, and something on that as well. I mean, I know we experienced in this class the sense of releasing the negative history that we carry. And I've had in the past months many, 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 many memories of, you know, things that I did that were, quote, horrible. And believing that they were coming to my awareness because they were getting released. And really, just in this class recently, I've had at least a couple of those where I would sense something and remember it in detail, something I'd truly forgotten, and then remember and be, oh golly, that wasn't, you know, that was dark. And a couple of times I literally felt like almost a swirling release, like there was almost I won't call it a flash of light, but a bunch of light. And I was getting help from my higher being or the beings who guide this class or whomever, wherever. And it literally, I just could feel it going and cleaning that out of me. And it was wonderful.
Interesting. Okay. Did you get any other insight about how you might have been guided to approach those situations? Other than just energetically, were you shown how to think about them, feel about them at all?
You mean the ones I just described in my meditations?
Yeah.
I would say that I was reminded during the meditation while it was happening, while I was remembering that, in fact, it occurred during like a series of memories each time, you know, a series of kind of historic vignettes would come to my awareness. And I did remember, was reminded to view it as positive and my getting my history cleaned up. And so that was the context. I mean, I didn't get lost in the horror of it, you know, or what a bad girl I'd been, you know.
Right. And so did any self-love come in?
That's a good question. There was a lot of joy and gratitude and acceptance, I guess, but I guess it's, I did feel love for myself. Certainly the part with the acceptance was an embrace of myself.
Yes, and the forgiveness too.
Yes, that was there, and that was there so much more deeply than, well, it was there. And in prior times when I have, you know, many, many of these historic vignettes come to me, I have, it was qualitatively very different. I mean, in those times I didn't beat myself up, at least, I mean, I knew, I believed it was a clearing, a cleanup of me, and that it was a positive thing, but it didn't have the sense of release and joy and acceptance that that was me, and that it was, that truly it was no longer me.
That's part of the love too.
Yeah, and something that, oh, I think it was Christian in this class said a couple, two or three classes ago, I have so resonated with and related to, which is, I have felt what I think he called loyal to those prior ways of my being in my history, that, you know, I felt that if I didn't stay with it and acknowledge it, or even acted like it didn't happen, or differently, that I was a hypocrite, that there was something really lack of integrity in me. And somehow I've just let that go and really accepted and been really grateful for knowing that that was me and that's not me.
Okay, very nice. Did any of you relate to some of what Fran was saying?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. In what way?
Yes.
In what way?
This is Dick. I relate to it in the sense that maybe about class two, a memory came to me from years ago that I was learning that I was in the world, but not of the world. And that just really has come home and settled in. And I really believe that at this point in time, and I feel like I'm living it.
Okay. Okay, and Mark?
For me, it's not always strictly a memory, it's also an approach. So I think throughout this year, I realized that I've approached situations with a lot of weight and heaviness and old patterns. And then going through it, I realized that it's something that I've created and there's a fear there. And it's something that, again, it's mine and something I've created through past patterns. So throughout this year, that's lightened up and I've been able to do better with approaching it with a lighter attitude and less of the density. And like this week's meditation was an example where it was really helpful because I was able to be more present. And when I'm more present with stuff, then that fear and anxiety that is a weight in my mind isn't so strong. And so I can approach in a more present sense, and then instead of like anticipating a lot of difficulties.
Isn't that a blessing?
Very much so.
Yes.
Very much so.
Yes. Okay. Was someone else going to speak to?
Marianne here. When Fran was speaking about acceptance, just accepting what I did and who I was and how I functioned, and being grateful for having the understanding of that now and the shedding of those things that were not me.
Right. And the worst thing Marianne's ever done is give too many gifts to people.
Thank you. I remember the llama.
I got them all llama around my room. Okay.
Oh, that was great. Well, always good to laugh there.
Okay, so good. So are other people finding themselves able to forgive themselves a little more, to understand that the perspective where, you know, the limitations of where you were at the time, and be able to let go of some of these things that we hang on to?
Yes, that's mm-hmm. beginning for me. This is Carla. A couple of weeks ago when we were talking about, or no, it was just previous to the last session, we were talking about the heaviness that's over this era that we're living in, and how that's coloring our whole being and our lives. Mm-hmm. And to be able to understand that more deeply really helped to, really helped in the forgiveness process of myself. So I thank you for that, because I never understood it or realized that the depth of that heaviness and how it was really interacting with my body, you know, and my being, my beingness. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay. More?
Yeah, Sarah, I'm not sure if this falls into the forgiveness or acceptance bucket, but I've noticed that in the past, I would think that the best way for things to align would be heaven and earth, with me not included in that stream. And I'm just finding myself, you know, my heart is opening more to like accepting who I am and being in that vertical stream, and that I bring positivity. So okay, the best possible outcome is not me not being here. It's me fully being here.
Oh,
and that's just kind of coming through.
Oh my goodness. But isn't that how many of us think? It's like you want to just disappear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Is that hitting a few people?
It's Ron.
Yeah.
Ron?
Yeah. Yeah. My sense at the moment is that I'm feeling like I'm living in a bubble. I'm aware of what's going on around me, but it's not touching me.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's a little strange.
It's good. You're in a nice little bubble.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. How about anyone else in terms of what Scott said about originally thinking the best outcome is you disappear?
Mm-hmm.
Is that Penny?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, this is Penny. I am astounded at the shift in my ability to forgive myself. I thought I never would, and in writing an email to a person, everything flowed with crystal clarity, and I was able to express what happened without any blame, guilt, shame, and it was the most flawless thing I've ever written, because it came from my heart. And it was truly an email of total forgiveness for myself. Wow. The shift is life-giving.
So the energies that are coming in now are helping us get to this point where we can do that. However the release comes, whether, you know, it's emotional release, physical sensation, mental reconceptualization. We are meant to release all this personal history in order to align with these new frequencies. And it is such a tug and pull of guilt and, like you said, obligation and responsibility to this old self that is so difficult to release at times. And we're really, in this class, inch by inch, bringing in huge amounts of energy to help this happen. So each person will go through this on their own, and there may be thoughts and feelings and emails that go back and forth, or conversations, or there just may be a lightening of your being, and you're able to enjoy yourself being with yourself more lovingly, and actually enjoy being with yourself. Like, you're not putting yourself down or making yourself disappear, trying to. Can you feel the difference between the old paradigm and the new?
Yeah.
Well, I thought Mark's comment about, you know, wishing I wasn't there, which is something I hear from people who are depressed, you know, I just wish I wasn't here. Like that the burden of self is so heavy. And what a transformation, what an antidote to say, wow, I love being here. I am happy to be here. You know, there's a joy around acknowledging my existence. It's just like a complete 180 degree shift in perspective.
Oh, is that something that occurred during this class, Ananda, or around this time? I'm just trying to separate it out from talking about your clients who are depressed and you.
And for me too, when I would get depressed, there was always a sense of just, this is a heavy burden to be here. And it would be such a relief to be not here. So yeah, it's to more and more be experiencing just the pure pleasure of existence. Mm. That's definitely, happening more and more in my life for me.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah, and so I wanna make a point about this and tie this together with what I was saying about the heavy energies being the background for how we grow out of that soil. And it may not be the best soil that we're growing out of in the old paradigm, that they're given the age, let's say the last couple thousand years, we did our very best to become our very best and did good at that, and now the energy shifted. So it's like we took out all the soil that was depleted, all the soil that had certain characteristics to it that could only grow certain types of plants and flowers and trees, and now there's a new soil, and so we can grow to a different potential. And that's what these new energies provide for us. Think of it as getting repotted. Yeah. Okay, in fresh new soil that has some magical nutrients that weren't there before. And so what's supporting you and sourcing you is new and fresh and vital. And that means you get to be new and fresh and vital. And in that process, this old stuff starts sloughing off. There's been a definite shift in the energies in the last month. And the light is getting stronger. I know you can't tell from what's going on in the world, but it is. And so there's just still this urgency to release this old stuff so that you can totally align with the new energy. And it's happening. And even as I'm speaking right now, the energies are coming through the group to help release this. Let's pause for a moment and ground. Now, this is a little tidbit that I keep saying to my guides, really? You know, this is one of those really things, like you really want me to mention this. But apparently they do. And it's just a little piece here. When I say, do you know what it feels like to be pleased with yourself? Can you relate to that?
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know that feeling, right?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. I mean,
we've never stopped to like identify that, really, have we? I mean, it can be such a little thing when we're pleased with ourselves. It's not like a big ego thing. It's just that something inside of us goes, oh, you did that good. You know, you did that right. You did that. Right? Right?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's happening more and more frequently now.
That you're more pleased with yourself?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you that it's something else that's happening frequently. It's not that you're pleased with yourself. You're enjoying yourself in an integrated way more versus being pleased with yourself. Being pleased with yourself is an interesting experience. It's a subtle level of judgment. And it's very subjective. You know, it's like, I agree with me. I'm pleased with myself. I'm the only one that agrees with that, but I'm pleased. But I want you to feel that it's a subtle level of judgment that puts you into a polarity situation.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Can others of you feel this or get it?
Yeah, this is Sally.
Yeah.
I think the only time I really feel content is when I can get into the axis. It's not a matter of my person in this lifetime kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I was really, especially when I just retired, I was really there letting go and clearing and walking. I did the big walk and just really getting it out of my body. When I can, it's been hard to get there, but when I can return to that place, then it's really a remembering of what I truly am.
Right.
So it's not a matter of patting myself on the back for something I've done in this lifetime.
I agree with that statement and something that Scott had said about when he was speaking about alignment. And I have found myself doing this, and I think it speaks to this, if I'm trying to be clear. When I will go out in nature or stand, I will look down, connect,
and I say, Mother Earth. I will raise my hand and say, Father Sky. And I will align. I go, Mother, Father, and then I cross my hands over my heart, and I say, God. So I say, Mother, Father, God. It's my divinity within me. And I assume that, as far as being pleased with oneself, is identifying the innate divinity that we all are within.
So at that point, you are free of being pleased with yourself. You're just present and aligned.
Yes. I trust, yes.
So you're gonna, do you get the difference of what I'm saying, Mary?
Oh, yes, yes, okay. Yes, I do. Okay. And I'm, okay, yeah, I do, thank you, yeah.
Okay, so that, it's a funny little thing, because if we're, and it's, I don't know why they want me to bring this up, but to notice this, when you have that sense of being pleased with yourself, yes, go back to grounding. Don't stop there. Come back deep, more deeply to center for an even more satisfying alignment with your true self. And it's so funny. It was like this little tidbit that they kept telling me about. And I could feel the difference in myself. Like, oh, I just, you know, cut that tomato with such perfect slices. Oh, I'm so pleased with myself, you know. And it's like, versus, there's something much more lovely to feel than just being pleased with myself. And for some reason, they wanted me to bring that up. So take that as a little appetizer for tonight.
It seems kind of innocent. I mean, when I try to tap into that feeling, it's usually like some inner little girl, you know, is going, oh boy, you know, I did, that was good.
If it's a child, it may be measuring it against some parental approval. Or are you... it's a little different than it's got an approval piece to it versus a childlike piece. Childlike is just pure delight, joy kind of thing. This is an extra element that's added to it that says, oh, I'm doing something that's approved of and has some judgment in it.
So I don't think that that's where I was. I think I'm more like Ananda, maybe, if this is where she's coming from, that I was just not in that place where I would have been judgmental. Like, I'm just in such a lighthearted, I am no longer in that negative place. And right. So... pleased with myself. I'm not thinking of it as an ego thing, but just, wow, I'm lighter so much more so often, and I recognize it.
Yes. Yes. That's why I'm saying that it was different than what you were saying.
And that Got you.
Yeah.
Okay. I used the wrong words.
We just hadn't fleshed out the idea enough.
Gotcha.
So there's just something there. Let's see how that plays out during the week. For you and see where it takes you. Because really, that's not something I would have thought important to bring up. And I'm sitting here and it's going, okay, bring it up. And it's one of those times where I'm fighting with them. Really, this is going to sound dumb. I'm not going to bring it up. And let's bring it up. Okay. So, let's go back a little. I want a little tiny bit more discussion on what it feels like to forgive yourself, to be able to get to a place where you're lighter with things that you've carried in your guilt and shame for a long time. Any other insights or comments about that?
This is Sally Hinn. There's one of the main things for me that are it's hard to forgive. I think back on if I add up all of the wasted time. Now, I know I've worked hard in my career and whatever, but there is a lot of other time, just work time. And I feel like if something makes me look at that after I die, it's like years worth of wasted time. I'd be so humiliated there. And it puts pressure on myself to, I go into that, you know, it's done, you can try to drop it, but then I'm concerned that it's going to continue. And so then I go back into that, you know, I'm waiting for something to show me what to do next instead of just, you know, being within my ground and being okay with like that ruthless trust idea, you know, just it will come, I will know. And if there is something, then I'll know. And if not, then I will know, you know.
So that's part feeling of, like I'm gonna know. That's part of the old soil.
Yeah. Ugh.
The, you know, the time crunch pressure is part of the old paradigm soil. Let's feel that for a moment. Because our sense of time is changing. And so along with this linear, you know, shift from everything being linear to more of a spiral, more spherical, time's going to change too. How we measure time, how we measure our own time is all changing. We have a cricket with us. Is someone outside?
This is Becca. I am actually sitting on a roof.
Oh,
okay. Believe it or not. And yes, there's a cricket. Okay. I will mute myself.
Oh, it's okay. I just was
okay.
It's fine. Just heard the cricket chirping in. So okay.
I have a friend.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, and a dog. We got a lot of people out there. Okay. Okay, so all of this stuff is loosening up in our being. You know, all of it was tied up tight, and it's starting to free up now. It can feel comfortable and freeing, uncomfortable and awkward at times. But every time you get a chance to be in a place of self-acceptance and understanding with yourself, then you'll be able to free up any of the heavy old thoughts. If it's something that happened that you feel shame about or you don't feel like you did well, just the more you free yourself up, the more free the other person becomes. The more you free yourself up from the shame and the horribleness of it, you're also freeing up the other person who is involved. Think of it as energy to energy. If you continue feeling shame or blame or embarrassment towards some situation, or some person, what does the energy look like that you're sending to them? Give me a picture of it. But seriously, give me a picture of it. Describe it.
Mine looks like sludgy, like very dark and heavy. I don't know if that's a word, but that was the word that came to mind. Sludgy.
Okay.
Gray.
And who was the other person who said something?
Sally. Jaggedy.
Jagged. Okay. So if you look at it that way, are you doing anything to repair the situation?
No.
And it's like what Penny described, being able to speak clearly and in a grounded way. If there's something to be repaired or something to be said, it can be done and said. But if you continue to harbor those heavy feelings, you're maintaining that experience over and over and over and over and over and over again. And the other person's being affected by it. What do you think of that?
There's a lot of truth to that. Thinking of it that manner, in that manner for certain. And yes, and how when you see that or feel that or understand that, to shift it, it makes a big difference. And I'm starting to understand that. Mm-hmm. It loosens it up. It's not taunt anymore and tough. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Would that energy also affect somebody who's passed on?
It can. Although they have a better way of dealing with it. But if you take, you know, it might be more in the earlier stages of when they're crossing over that the things from the earth plane are affecting them more. And then as they progress through the planes and return to their true self, their true spirit, then they'll have less of an impact.
Okay. That's sweet.
Okay. Yeah, there's a lot that goes on in the first few weeks after someone passes on as they're navigating their life from their point of view and cleaning that up. Now, can you feel the lightness here that's coming in, the light that's coming in around all this?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. It removes the indigo anvil weight off the relationship. Mm-hmm. Suddenly you're both free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true, Penny. That was my experience trying to explain that. Yes. It does.
Okay. So we'll gather into our sacred circle and bring in more light Just before we do that, did some of you practice with being inside your physical body with your consciousness like we did last week with the meditation?
Yes.
Yes.
And how did that go?
Good. I was spending time with my lungs. So I've just kind of been fighting some bug off or something like that. So it was just actually very nice to just spend time with the lungs without having a struggle. And it felt freeing, and it actually felt like healthier afterwards. Just spending a light amount of time.
Anyone else?
Yeah, I practice it this week too, and a lot, and not just being within, but also what was around me too. So trying to be at a subtle level, both within my body, but also in what I was experiencing and how it impacted me as I was in a present moment. And it really seemed to make a big difference because it drew me into the present moment by being aware of my perceptions and my perceptors.
And so were you perceiving from a different, let's say, iOS or, you know, like from a different way of functioning?
Yes, being able to move out of the mindset and more into just, for me, it was just being more, feeling more present. Like I said, it drew me more into being, I don't want to say, I guess, content, or just being content in the present moment and feeling a sense of fullness. Because normally I'm that kind of person. It's like, you know, that I'm an achiever. So it's like that story, you know, I got to do this, I got to do that. But this kind of drew it back to just being content and being present and being aware of what was around me and what was bubbling inside of me too at the same time.
Mm-hmm. More of that spherical awareness. Sounds like you're describing that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
What I felt when I practiced it was kind of silly, but it felt really good. It felt as if my organs and other parts of my body knew me very well, and I didn't know they did.
Yes.
Okay. So it's delightful, really.
Yes. They can't wait for you to come in there and be with them. They really can't. It is delightful. They smile.
And they're grateful for the love and good care.
Yes. And the
intimacy. And the healthy lifestyle.
And the intimacy. It's a deep intimacy with yourself. You don't think of an organ as yourself. No. Right?
Not until you do your exercise. Yeah.
Right. And it is part of yourself, and it is part of your consciousness.
I think modern medicine, unless it's just me, kind of has taught me or us to see those as enemies, those organs as our enemies in a way, because often they manifest disease from our lifestyle. And so I realized, not that I looked at my organs that way, but I really didn't feel friendly towards them until I did the exercise. And now I realize that they're manifestations of health and happiness, and we're friends. It's awesome.
They are they are aspects of yourself. So that's what the materialistic objectifying perspective does. You know, we're coming out of that materialistic age where everything is an object. So, you know, your liver is an object. It's But that's not true. It is not an object. It is you. Mm-hmm. And that's what that objectification does. It causes separation, fragmentation, and dissociation. So we're basically walking around dissociated from a huge percentage of ourself. Imagine walking around interacting with the sense of all your internal physiology and anatomy as part of who you are. And some of you who are really good athletes and stuff walk around feeling good in your body, but you still may not identify the body as yourself. Mm-hmm. And can you feel yourself infiltrating the interior of your body right now to integrate with who you are?
Yeah.
Some of you feel that?
Yeah. Yes.
I loved the exercise of having every little cell in our body lighting up, that little bit of light in every cell, and it just got brighter and brighter and brighter. Mm-hmm. It gave a whole new meaning to incorporating the light within, you know, from my heart, opening that wonderful light, and it was just so exciting. Right. To feel the light glowing. I felt I was glowing.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you've read any of the accounts of people who get organ transplants, that especially a heart transplant, it's like the whole being comes with that heart. Mm-hmm. So that's how much of you is in every cell and organ.
Yes. It was a revelation to realize that every cell is the fullness of me. Mm-hmm. So doing the exercise all week, made it stronger and stronger, and it felt better and better.
Yes. Yeah. And so when we talk about shedding the burden of ourselves, part of that burden is being separated off from the interior of our body.
Yes.
Look how much struggle goes around your body. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the old soil, because we were taught that the body was, well, the nicest way they put it was a temple, but even that objectifies the body and separates it from yourself. And it's not just a dwelling place for spirit, it is spirit. And that's part of the new revelations that are coming through in this new energy. That's the difference between the old paradigm and the new paradigm. And the difference between what we can know about ourselves as these lighter, more high frequency energies start coming in.
Oh, wow.
It's like for so long we've been viewing it as we're a spirit trapped in flesh.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Right.
Well said. Well said.
Yes. And so having that traps us even more. Because there's no way, you don't have an avenue in, a portal in, to including that in yourself and then enjoying the beautiful radiance of knowing that as yourself. The body as yourself.
So this is how self-healing then happens? This light that is each cell that is us, if we can, I guess I'm like that was my favorite part too. And as, what am I trying to ask here? If you would allow that to just grow and become more in your awareness, I guess is what I'm thinking, this would put healing into those parts that need healed.
Yes, the way I would say that is anytime you're starting to feel ill or uncomfortable in your body, the first thing to do is to come back in to re-inhabit that whole interior space and do your reconnection first. Okay? Then you have more intuition of what array of modalities might be helpful for you, because you're coming from a different perspective. You're coming from a place where your cells are saying to you, you know, I need some acupuncture first before you do anything else. Or I need some antibiotics. It doesn't matter, you know, there's no judgment on what it is, but once you're in there and connected with more of yourself in your body, a lot more comes to you about how to direct your healing and how to ask for help, where to ask for help. And there you have your power. You're coming from a place of power and integration. And that's a huge difference than how we usually approach a medical situation.
Mm-hmm. My Achilles heel is my left knee. And I, doing the exercises and listening to the meditations this week, it's like my left knee is joyful at being viewed in love. Mm-hmm. It has always been the designated problem. And I have x-rays to prove it. You know, this is the problem. And I have never gone, but going inward and lovingly approaching that knee, has issued so much gratitude. I am walking around upright and bipedal with no pain, just because I love that knee.
Yes. So to your point, Sally, I approach it as you being your first healer, okay? That this is where the original, most potent site or center to approach anything from will be, is when you're reconnected within. And if you can ignite the power of the love and the vital energy, there are many things that can be healed that way. And then, I mean, just by that physical connection with your body. And then if you take it deeper, you can go into much deeper healing states. And you performing the first healing on yourself, other than a severe emergency situation, or even if you can at that time, you know, is the most powerful way to enter into a healing journey with yourself.
Sarah, I loved when you talked about the microcosm being like this, that being a microcosm for the macrocosm. Mm-hmm.
in my sits, I often get this like message that every cell is a universe and every universe is a cell. Mm-hmm. And have a sense that in entering in toward whatever the sensation is within or wherever it is, that there's somehow like sometimes I'll feel like I'm like resting in a palm, like somewhere on the other side of the earth. It's kind of like when you're like dipping your toe into the ocean and you realize like someone's somewhere else really far away is like touching that same water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a definite sense of integration and wholeness. It's a wonderful mm-hmm. feeling. Wonderful feeling. And that smile that Dia described, it's really true. That's mm-hmm. where the smile comes from, is that intimate embracing of this self that we completely mm-hmm. keep outside of our range of awareness. So I hope to get you everyone more excited about this and working with this with yourself, practicing this. It's really pretty amazing where this will take you. Okay, so feel your feet and seat. And okay, so you can tell that you're already somewhat connected within, just through our conversation and the energy that was coming in. I do want to say that sometimes when I try to enter into that intimate relationship with my cells and organs and beings, sometimes I feel like I'm locked out. And it takes me a little while to get back in there. And I'm locked out because I've joined with the common frequency of thought and emotion, the materialistic, objectified consciousness. And that can really hold you and grab you and keep you stuck in there. And so I want to encourage you that if you are having trouble and feel locked out, and that's what it feels like to me. It's a horrible feeling of being locked out of myself. I don't like it. And I just encourage you to be patient and try a few different ways of relaxing. You have to relax to get in there. And it might take you a little while. Sometimes it's taken me a couple hours. I remember a flu I had that, you know, it lasted like 7 days. It took me 5 days to get into that intimate place. And it was an interesting journey because along with the flu, and I never believe that anything that happens to us is just purely physical, that there's always something that we're meant to realize along with what's happening with us. And sometimes when it takes me that long, it's like my consciousness is freer to spend some time gestating and coming up with some new realizations. And the new realization will then open a door where I can get more into a more intimate place with my body. And then I know I'm on the path to healing. I just wanted to describe another way that this can happen when I feel locked out from myself, that it's usually part of my consciousness gestating something and I have to realize it and let it come to the surface. Having a weakened body very often lets these realizations come to us more clearly and rise to the surface with less resistance. And then once I get the realization of what my being was trying to get to me, then I usually start to heal really quickly and I'm able to get in there. So just wanted to say that. Okay, let's feel ourselves connected with our feet to Mother Earth, greeting Mother Earth and the spirit of the land where you are. The nature spirits, our little friend the cricket, maybe a very big being, that cricket. And allow yourself to relax. Relaxing is always the first step. And feel your feet and your connection, the energy, greeting the spirit of the water, the spirit of the fire, the spirit of the light, the spirit of the air, and the spirit of the ether. And the directions, those beings who help us form the structure of our consciousness, the east, the south, the west, the north, above and below, forming the crystalline body from which our earth consciousness grows. And relax and sense the light coming into you. Feel yourself more deeply within. Say hi to your heart, your lungs, and all the cells and tissues and organs and bones and muscles. And just let yourself infiltrate, reconnect. And feel the energy of your being, sum total energy. For me, it's a spherical sense of feeling whole. You may have a different sense of it. But my mind is no longer polarized, it's no longer active, it's not comparing. It's peaceful and settling in and allowing energy to be known. And when we return to our sense of energy, we return more to our more true essence. So allow yourself to know yourself as energy. And what we're doing is creating a cauldron or a sphere of beautiful energy that begins to digest, cook, transform. Anything heavy or old, any kind of old consciousness. There we go. And we're going to sit in this for a few minutes. And so trust the energy. We're allowing the energy to do the releasing, the enlightening, and the transforming. And as that heavy veil starts to shed, we realize we are planted in the new soil. It's just like a shadow is removed and the light, everything seems brighter and more colorful and happier. And you don't have to include the rest of the world in this, don't. This is your personal space. And we have to develop this personal space to make it very solid and firm and known and accessible. It's our womb in the new paradigm. They are very good. So I'll leave you to your own meditation, and we'll reconnect next week. Blessings. Have a beautiful week. That was a crystal that just fell.